Shalom to all! Today's daf is Yerushalmi, Yivam, Staf, Yud, Beis, and we're starting Yud, Alfam, Beis, about 6 lines off the bottom of the words, Ben Gai, and today's daf is sponsored by Lili Nishmas, Marsh, Mem, Sar, Batsi, Baka, Moshe, Hernish, Shalmash, and Havan, Aliyah. And we're discussing that which the Mishnah had said, that a person's son is considered his son from a halach perspective, unless it was born to a non-Jew or a Shefcha. So we have some more cases. The Gemara tells us, Ben Gai, Shabal, Bas Yisrael, we have a non-Jewish man who's by a Jewish woman, Vialda, and they had a child, or Ben Yisrael, a Jewish man, Shabal Gaya, who lived with a non-Jewish woman, Vialda, and they had a child. Then the non-Jew in this relationship underwent Geirus, and this now Jewish couple had another baby boy. So what's his din? Bachar l'nachlav, ain't a bachar l'kayin. He is considered bachar for the nachlav, for the inheritance. He does get double portion. That's because his brother, who was born before one of his parents were Jewish, is not considered the bachar, either because his mother wasn't Jewish or because his father wasn't Jewish. However, he's not considered a bachar for a kayin, meaning he wouldn't need pidyon haben, because that has to do with just the first issue of the womb of the mother, and since the mother already had a child, even though maybe her husband wasn't Jewish or she wasn't Jewish at the time, doesn't make a difference. It's still considered like she had a child. Continuing on with more cases, Gai Shabal Gaya. We have two non-Jews that lived with each other, Vialda, and they had a child. Rabbi Yochanan says, Gayim yesh lahem yichasim, Gayim have yichas. They have halachic genealogy, meaning this parent and child are considered to be halachically related to each other. Whereas Rav Shimon Lakshamar, he says, Gayim ein lahem yichasim, Gayim don't have yichas. They don't have halachic genealogy. There's no connection between the parent and child, except for from a biological standpoint. And one practical nafkamina of this would be, let's say they now both undergo geirus and they have another child. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, that child would be bachar l'nachla. According to Rish Lakish, no. Now you'd base on alpha on top of the Gemara. Ask a question on Rish Lakish. We have a pasuk that says, "Ba'isa at that time, Shalach Baroidech Baladon Ben Baladon Melch Bavel Svarim Umincha El Chizkio." That the king of Bavel, Baroidech Baladon Ben Baladon, sent Svarim in a present to Chizkio. So we see that he's called by the name of his father. It must be the Gaim do have yichos. The answer is that no. They should keep it skenoi zochlas yaches, just because he was mechabed his elders, meaning his father and his grandfather. That's why the pasuk was miyaches him, meaning Gaim do not really have yichos. Halachically, parents and children are not related. It's just that since this Baroidech fellow, when he would sign documents, he would write Baroidech Baladon because his father's name was Baladon and he wanted to honor him, and he would also sometimes write Ben Baladon, which is his grandfather, so that's why they gave him covered by writing that full name in the Pasuk. I think we're asking Rosh Lakish, but the Pasuk says, Vishlechem Melch Asa El Ben Hadad Ben Tavrimim Ben Chazion Melch Haram Hayosh B'Damesek Leymar. So we see that this non-Jewish king is called by the name of his father and grandfather, Hadad Ben Tavrimim Ben Chazion. Clearly, they do have Yichos. So Gemara says, no, the only reason I'm mentioning his father's name is just to emphasize that Koitzitz Ben Koitzitz, that he's the murderer, the son of a murderer, but not that halachically they're related. Mother Tamar, just like you say in the pasuk, Ki Haman ben Hamdasa, and Vichi ben Hamdasa Haya, was Haman the son of Hamdasa? No, that wasn't his father. Ela Tsair ben Tsair, it's just trying to say that he's a Rasha, the son of a Rasha, Ofacha. So to over here, by saying the whole genealogy, it's just simply telling us that Kaitzitz ben Kaitzitz, that he's a murderer, the son of a murderer, but not that he's halachically related to his father. Now we go on to a defense for Rish Lakish. Aron Techumi, he says, Kach Mesher Roshim Elokish Rabbi Yechanan. This is where Rish Lakish would respond to Rabbi Yechanan. Vaksev, we have a pasuk that says, Ulitziva Chamisha Asar Banim Ve'asma Vadim, Tziva had 15 sons and 20 avadim. Now Tziva was actually an avid himself. So here's the question: Avadim yeshlam yichos? Do avadim have yichos? No. The only machlokes of Rebbe Chaim Shlakish is in regard to non-Jews. Do parents and children have halachic yichos? But everyone agrees that avadim don't have halachic yichos at all. And here we clearly see that the pasuk is saying that Tziva, who's an avid, had 15 sons. It must be the pasuk's not being miyaches them. It's simply saying from a biological perspective he happened to have had 15 children, and that's clearly like Rish Lakish, not like Rabbi Yechanan. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a raya, but almanos or ba'almos, shemten shalom fibayshes, it was just with strength, with might, that they removed themselves from Mephibosheth. Mephibosheth was the last surviving member of Shaul HaMelech's family. They were his avadim, and this pasuk is referring to the fact that Tziva, this eved, had pulled away from Mephibosheth, basically forcibly decided not to be an eved anymore, and the way it's expressing that is by saying that Tziva had 15 sons. Instead of saying that it was Tziva and 15 other avadim, it mentions the word sons, just to highlight the fact that they didn't act as avadim anymore. So there's actually no raya for Rish Lakish. We go back to discussing the Mishnah, Shifcha. How do we know the children of a Shifcha, non-Jewish maidservant, follow her and they're considered non-Jewish? And the answer is because the pasuk tells us, the woman and her children shall be for the master. This is referring to when we have a Yid who sold into slavery, meaning he's sold as an Eved Ivri. He works for his Jewish master. He's allowed to be given a non-Jewish maidservant as a wife. And when he leaves the servitude of his after 6 years, the pasuk says that he goes back home, but his wife and her children, they're for her master. So we clearly see that her children follow her and they're not Jewish. Ask the Gemara Nachris, what about a non-Jew? How do we know the child of a non-Jewish woman is considered non-Jewish? So the pasuk tells us, don't make a chasen with them, meaning don't marry them. Now it's important to continue reading the pasuk. It says, don't give your daughter to his son, meaning don't marry your daughter off to a non-Jewish man. And don't take his daughter, meaning don't take a non-Jewish woman for your son. So the pasuk clearly tells us that a Jewish male or female is not allowed to marry the non-Jewish counterpart. But then the pasuk says, when he shall turn turn your son away from me. What do we learn from here? Bencha Mishrael Kari Bencha Vein Bencha Migaya Kari Bencha El Bena. Your son from a Jewish woman is considered your son, but your son from a non-Jewish woman is not considered your son. In other words, even the pasuk tells us that there's an iser for a Jewish male or a Jewish female to marry a non-Jew. This next pasuk is telling us what's going to happen if a Jewish female marries a non-Jewish male. Ki Yasir is Bencha Macharai, that he, the non-Jewish male, the non-Jewish husband, he's going to turn your son away from me. He's going to turn him into an Avid Avayt Zara. And it does not say Ki Tasir as Bencha, that she's going to turn him away. And since the pasuk emphasized the word Bencha, your son, it must mean that when we have a non-Jewish man and a Jewish woman, the child is still considered a Jew. But when it's a non-Jewish woman and a Jewish man, it doesn't say anything about her turning your son away. That's because it's not considered your son, it's considered her son, it's a non-Jew. Now, we have a story about this. Yaakov Ish Kfar Nuvuraya Azal Tzur. This fellow Yaakov went to Tzur, and Asan Shalom Leh, they came and asked him the following question. Mao Migzer Breda Aramaya B'Shufsa, are we allowed to give a bris mila to the son of an Aramean, meaning to a son of a non-Jewish woman, on Shabbos? The father was Jewish, the mother wasn't, and the kid was born on Shabbos. Are we allowed to give him a bris mila on Shabbos? So if it's our Mishri Lion, Minada, he wanted to permit it for them from the following. The pasuk says, and they gave birth to their families, Lebes Avaisim, to their father's houses. So we see that Yichus goes after the father, and since his kid's father is Jewish, it must be he's Jewish, and therefore his bris could be on Shabbos. However, Shomer of Chagai, Chagai heard this. Amar, he said, Yesi, bring him here. Isune de Yilki, they brought him so that he could get Malkus. He paskened incorrectly. So Amar Leh, he asked Rav Chagai, Me'echanat Malkini, from where are you coming that you're going to give me Malkus for this psak of mine? So Amar Leh told him, and from the following pasuk, it tells in regards to Ezra Sefer, when he brought up Yidden from Bavel to begin rebuilding the second base of Mikdash, a lot of them were actually married to non-Jewish women, and they brought their wives and children with them. As Ezra said, V'atar Necher's bris Leikenu, now let's make a bris for our God, and all the non-Jewish women and their children shall be sent away. And so we clearly see from here that a child in regards to Yiddishkeit is miyochas after the mother. So if the mother's not Jewish, the child's not Jewish. So I'm related. This Yaakov asked Reb Chagai, "Mina Kabbalat Malkeini, you're going to give me Malkus from Kabbalah, meaning from Nevim and Ksuvim. How could you do that?" So I'm related. Reb Chagai told him, "The pasuk says Uchet Torah Yaseh, and this shall be done according to Torah, meaning this is Alpi Torah. It's not just something they made up." So I'm related. He responded, "Min Hadoriya, okay. Where do we see it in the Torah itself? Not just the pasuk from Sefer Ezra." So I'm related. Reb Chagai told him, "And Ahida Amar Biyachem Shem Roshim Meichai, from that which we had just above." Reb Biyachem said, "Shem Roshim Meichai." Ksiv, the pasuk says, "Loi Tischat in Bam." Ksiv, and then the pasuk says, "Ki Yaser is Bencha Macharei." What do we learn from here? Bencha Yisrael Kari Bencha Vein Bencha Migaya Kari Bencha El Bena. Your son from a non-Jewish woman is not called your son; it's called her son, and so that's where we see this the Ayraisa. So now, Amar Olei, this Yaakov told Reb Chagai, "Chavait Chavatcha, you strike your striking. It's worth it for me to makabel Malkus. Do Tava Bekalta. It's better for me to receive these than for me to mislead people with incorrect psak regarding the son of a non-Jewish woman." Moving on to Al Chazayin, these next three halachas are all going to be discussing the same concept, the same idea, just many different variations. So the Mishnah tells as follows: Mishikidish achas mishtei achayos, a person was mekadesh one of two sisters, ve'eni yedea ezukidish, and he doesn't remember which one he was mekadesh. Maybe they're identical twins, and he has a hard time telling them apart. He simply doesn't remember. Nice and get lazu, ve'get lazu. He has to give a get to both of them, so both of them could be released. Now let's say before giving a get, mace, this fellow died, ve'loy ach echad, and he has a brother, so chayos ishtein, he has to chalitza to both of them, because again, we don't know which one was the one that received kiddushin. Let's say though, hayulai shnayim, he had two brothers, Reuven died, and he has Shimon and Levi, so echad chayos vechad miyabim, one does chalitza, one does yibum. However, let's say kinmu v'kinsu, if they're maktim and they ended up marrying these two women, ein maitzin miyadon, so we're not going to remove them from these two brothers. Says the Gemara, quoting the Mishnah, mishikish achas mishtei achayos v'chulu, we're going to explain all these cases. We quote the din, mishikish achas mishtei achayos, who's makadesh one of two sisters, v'ein yedea la'ezukidish, he doesn't remember which one he's makadesh, nice and get lazu v'get lazu, he has to give a get to both of them to make sure that he's magarish, the one that he was makadesh. Now, let's say mace, he died before giving a get, v'loy ach echad, and he had a brother, chayos ushtein, he has to do chalitza to both of them. Sound like Gemara asks, b'chol atar at amar ein chalitza chalitza. In all places, you say there's no chalitza after chalitza. For example, if two yevamos fall to a man and he does chalitza to one of them, that automatically potters up the other one. He doesn't do chalitza again to the other one, and not only doesn't he do it, even if he does do chalitza to the other one, it doesn't count as chalitza, and he's allowed to marry her relatives, and she's allowed to marry his relatives, and she's not considered a chalitza, so she's allowed to marry a kayin. Over here, you're saying this. Over here, you're saying that this brother has to do chalitza to both women. How does that make sense? The more answer is kambavade, kambasafik. The question was coming from a situation of vadai. That's when he has two yevamos falling to him, bivadai. So when he does chalitza to one of them, that automatically patches up the other one. But over here, it's a suffix. We don't know which one is the real yevama. The other one is no shaykhis. She just is the sister of the yevama. So that's why he has to do chalitza to both. So that's not a question. We continue. The Mishnah said, if he had two brothers, one does chalitza, one does yibam. So we ask another question. In all places, at Amr, you say that that if we're going to tell him to do yibam, we don't tell him to do chalitza. Over here, you say this. If yibam is able to happen, so we don't say to do chalitza. Why over here are we saying yibam and chalitza? And the answer is, that's a vadai, this is a suffik. If it's a situation of vadai, so then we're going to say yibam, not chalitza. but over here, the whole thing's a suffig. Again, we don't know which woman is the real Yavama. Therefore, we can't allow a marriage before chalitza happens. First, one of the women has to receive chalitza. Comes Marav Shach, either she's the Yavama, and so now she received chalitza, the other brother is allowed to marry her sister, and he's not being over for marrying Achais Zikukasoi because he's not Zakuk to the Yavama anymore because she received chalitza. And if the one who received chalitza is not the Yavama, so it's fine, the chalitza is nothing. And then when the other brother marries the other sister, well, that other sister is really the Yavama, so in essence, he's really doing Yibum, and that's why the chalitza happens first, and then the Yibum, and that's why we need both of them. Now the Gemara quotes Kinu Vakinsu in Matsin Miyadam, that if they were both Makdem and they married both sisters, instead of doing chalitza and Yibum, they both just married both sisters, we're not going to remove them. Now, according to some Gersais, this is really a mistake and should be right after the next Mishnah, which is really in essence just a continuation of this, and that's how we're going to be explaining it. So we move right into Halacha Ches. The Mishnah tells us, Shnayim Shekechu Shtei Achayos, we have two people, not brothers, just two regular people. We're going to call them Reuven and Beryl. They're Makadesh two sisters, Zeh Yudei Le'ezu Shekidesh, Vezeh Yudei Le'ezu Kidesh. Neither of them know which sister they are Makadesh. So Zeh Neisun Shnei Gitin, Zeh Neisun Shnei Gitin. Each one, Reuven and Beryl, have to give two separate Gitin to make sure that they sever that bond that they have with that woman. Now let's say Mesu, they died before they gave those Gitin. Lezeach, Lezeach. Each one has a brother. Reuven's brother is Shimon. Beryl's brother is Shmeril. So Zechot Zeshtein, Vezechot Zeshtein. Each brother has to do Chalitza to both of them to make sure that he gets rid of that Zika. Now let's say Lezeach or Lezeshnayim. One has one brother, the other has two. So Beryl's brother is Shmeril, and Reuven has Shimon and Levi. So Hayichidi, Chalitza Zeshtein, the individual brother, that's Shmeril, he does Chalitza to both women. That gets rid of the Zika from his standpoint. And Mashnayim, the two brothers, that's Shimon and Levi, Echad Chalitza Vechem Yabim, that's like the previous Mishnah. One does Chalitza, the other could do Yibim if he wants. Now let's say Kinu Vakinsu, they were Makdim, meaning these two remaining brothers, Shimon and Levi, they just ended up marrying these two women. In Maitzin Miyadon, we're not going to take it away from them. That's fine, they could stay. So Gemara quotes the Mishnah, Shnayim Shekechu Shtei Achayos Vechulu, says the Gemara, Tanami Vebraiso, Echad Yisrael Vechad Kayhanim Kaseder Azeh. This applies to both Yisraelim and Kayhanim, meaning even if the brothers that these women are falling to are Kayhanim, they're allowed to marry them. That's where this Kinu Vakinsu applies, that even if they marry them, it's not a problem, because since they were Makdim and got married, he's not marrying a Chalitza, so it's not an issue. Now the Gemara clarifies just the earlier case where we said Chalitza and then Yibum. So we already had explained this, but the Gemara is speaking it out. It has to be that first Chalitza happens, then Yibum. But if these two sisters fall to these two brothers, doing Yibum first without Chalitza is Aser. Why is that? Maybe his brother's going to die. Meaning, let's say Shimon does Yibum to the woman instead of doing Chalitza. So maybe Levi's going to die without Chalitza. And it's going to turn out that he was Baal, the sister of his Yavama, because it could be that the one that Shimon was Baal wasn't his Yavama, rather she was the sister of his Yavama, and now that Levi died, turns out that Shimon was Baal, Achos Yivimtoi, and that's a problem. So that's why first Chalitza has to happen, then Yibum. Continuing, Amar Chizra Chizra says, Hada Amar, this also tells us, Habal Achaz Chalutzasoi, Loi Pasamana Kuhuna. That if someone's Baal, the sister of his Chalutza, that doesn't passel her from Kuhuna, because we had just said before that this applies even to Kayhanim, which means that a Kayhan is allowed to marry one of these sisters, and that's even though she's the sister of a woman who had received Chalitza, that's not a problem. We continue discussing, the Mishnah said, Mesu, if both these men died, Reuven and Beryl, Lezach, Lezach, each one had a brother, Zechot Zeshtein, Zechot Zeshtein, each one has to do Chalitza to both of them. So here we're going to ask the same question we asked above. B'chalatarat, Amar, and Alpaz, you say, Ain Chalitza Chalitza, that there's no Chalitza after Chalitza. Two women are falling to Yibum, once one of them receives Chalitza, the other one is Pater, and Chalitza is not necessary, and it's not relevant either. And B'chalatar Marachin over here is saying this, that both need to have Chalitza, and the answer is, Kan B'vada, Kan B'safek. That's talking about a Vadai, when they're both Vada Yavamais, so only one of them needs Chalitza. But over here, the whole thing's a Safek. We don't know which one is Yavama to which Yavam, and therefore they have to both receive Chalitza. Mishnah then said, this one had one brother, this one had two brothers. The individual brother does Chalitza to both of them, Vashnaim, and the two brothers, that's Shimon and Levi, one does Chalitza, one does Yibam. Gemara is a similar question. At Omar, in all places you say, that if you're not going to tell him to do Yibam, you don't tell him to do Chalitza. Over here, you're saying this, they were allowing Yibam. So once again, we say, one's talking about a Vade, one's talking about a Safek, and since this Safek case, after Chalitza, Yibam's allowed to happen. Here again, the Gemara tells us, and this is also really going on the Gemara right after this next Mishnah. So going on to Halacha test, the Mishnah now gives another example of this case. When we had two men, Bimkadish, two sisters, they didn't know which one is which, and they both died without giving a get. And here in this situation, both of them had two brothers. So Reuven has Shimon and Levi, and Beryl has Shmeril and Lemuel, and they were Mekadish to two sisters, Rachel and Leah. So Echol Shel Zeh Chalitz La'achas, Ve'achim Shel Zeh Chalitz La'achas. This one's brother does Chalitza to one of them, and this one's brother does Chalitza to one of them. It means that Shimon is going to do Chalitza to Rachel, and Shmeril is going to do Chalitza to Leah. And remember, we still have a brother on each side. So Achiv Shel Zeh Miyam Chalutzasa Shel Zeh, Achiv Shel Zeh Miyam Chalutzasa Shel Zeh, the brother of this one could do Yibum to the Chalutza of the other one, and the brother of that one could to do Yibam to the Chalitza of that one, which means now Levi is allowed to do Yibam to Leah because she's the Chalitza of the other side, and Lemuel could do Yibam to Rachel because she's the Chalitza of the other side. Now let's say Kid Mushnaim v'Chaltzu, let's say two brothers got up and did Chalitza to both of them. Lo Yav Mushnaim, the two brothers on the other side are not allowed to do Yibam. Ella Echad Chatz v'Echad Miyabim, one of them has to do Chalitza, then only the last one could do Yibam. Over here, once again, Kid Mushnaim, so in Matin Miyadam, if these last two brothers ended up marrying these two women, we're not going to take them away from them. Says the Gemara, this last case, that after one brother on each side does chalitza to one of the women, the remaining brother on that side could marry the woman from the other side. That's only by Yisrael, not by Kehanim, because Kehanim are not allowed to marry chalitza. And over here, this last brother, Levi or Lemuel, is marrying the chalitza from the other side. Well, she's a vadai chalitza, and so as a kohen, he's not allowed to marry that. We're going to stop for the day and pick up tomorrow with halacha yud, but for now, everyone should have a wonderful day.